Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Jeffrey Furman of New Theory, and today we are discussing growing an agency in the midst of a pandemic. Jeffrey is an entrepreneur, the former co-founder of Office Vibe, and has gone on to start an agency called New Theory, where he is helping growing startups and e-commerce stores broaden their reach and improve growth. Thanks so much for joining us today, Jeffrey.
Thanks a lot, Julia. I look forward to just answering some of your questions and talking shop. I mean, I think the past couple of years have been rough on all of us, and I really just have had quite the learning experience and kind of look forward to sharing my story, and I hope it either inspires or just teaches someone something interesting, or at least brings a new perspective into growing their agency.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited to dive into it and learn about what your experiences have been throughout the pandemic. And then, so to start, tell us, so where are you tuning in from today?
I am down in the beautiful city of Miami, specifically Amazing. South Miami. I was working out of the art district for 2.5 years and just decided to make the move to South Miami. It's a little bit less hectic or less chaotic. Miami is still definitely an event city, and even in the midst of pandemic, just a lot going on over here, and we've seen a nice emergence in the tech scene, in the e-commerce scene. It's been wonderful.
Interesting. And so how did you get into digital marketing originally?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. Back in 2011, when my co-founder Daniel and I were starting Office Vibe, we went in through Mass Challenge, a Boston-based or Massachusetts-based startup incubator. And we were right in the backyard of HubSpot, and you know, just being around all those individuals that have either worked for the company or have been influenced by it, gaining their perspective in inbound marketing, content creation, and I guess I would say handholding, you know, with the customer and walking them through a journey of like content, with content, through content, to eventually become an ambassador and a user of your product. That's kind of where I learned a lot around marketing, a lot around inbound marketing, a lot about go-to-market strategies and engaging customers. And it wasn't love at first sight, but it was one of those interesting things that happened where I really appreciated connecting with people. And yeah, been doing it for close to 11 years now. And so far, so good.
That's awesome. And then why did you start New Theory?
I started New Theory just because I had done several one-year contract roles in New York, really setting the strategy and execution for three startups up there. And I really think, or I really thought I had the talent of like, or just had this unique ability where I could put together a strategy, quickly execute on it, and help a company grow. So I guess you could call it a popcorn marketing approach, where we could just, you know, put me in there, have me hire all the right pieces, and either gain, you know, a user base, improve revenue. And I was like, all right, I've done this for, you know, three contracts. Maybe I could just expand my efforts and grow a company out, and just help more companies out without having so much red tape. You know, just be more at my time, my leisure, and just, you know, enjoy helping these companies grow.
Very cool. So is that kind of your niche, is helping startups to grow?
Yeah, specifically pre-seed, you know, companies that might not even have a perfect website, communication strategy. Maybe they don't even have emails set up. You know, I help them out. Obviously, you know, e-commerce is a little bit different. We've been helping out with conversion rate optimization for e-commerce store, and that's been pretty challenging to know, because I didn't have a clue in how to run e-commerce stores before this, but definitely learned on the fly. And now that's become, you know, one of my major parts of business, working with e-commerce stores.
Very cool. So what do you love most about running your agency?
Wow, that's a great question. I think I enjoy working with passionate entrepreneurs the most. You know, there's a lot of people that have great ideas out there or have successful products that might not necessarily, they might not necessarily know how to work the internet, so to speak. So I enjoy just being there with them, going, bring this kind of back to what I started with doing, like hand-holding and teaching them, like, hey, this is how you grow your company now. You know, you have to look at these numbers or these metrics and have an understanding that when this improves, your bottom line is going to increase. And that's what I enjoy the most. And we're, you know, just communicating with people, even if it's not a sale or even if it's, you know, someone that I'm prospecting, I just enjoy talking to them and getting to see where their mindset's at. Just love entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Oh, that's so awesome. And then what would you say is your biggest challenges that you encounter on a day-to-day basis?
This is my first time running an agency. So I'm pretty sure pricing out invoices or pricing out, you know, your services is one of the most challenging things to do.
Totally.
There's so many ways of going about it, you know, doing it as a project-based type of payment strategy or an hourly rate. You know, I do consulting hours just like that. But pricing all my services out has always been a tough one, and then negotiating. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not a salesperson at all, but I'm definitely, you know, one that's always looking to help people. And I think sometimes, you know, when you're trying to get people good deals, it ends up putting a lot of stress in terms of, you know, actual revenue made. But that's something that I'm learning to work with every single day.
Yep. And I feel like we've all been there. We all have learned that the hard way. And you don't make that mistake, you know, more than once when you've underquoted a job and dealt with those frustrations. So let's delve into our topic. So I would love to hear more about what your experiences have been growing your agency throughout the pandemic. And so how would you say, so how did you start off at the start of the pandemic? How big was your team? How many clients would you say like you had on that sort of thing? And then up until now, like what has been like your sort of growth curve that you've noticed?
Yeah, it definitely went through, we definitely went through a, I guess, hockey stick style growth the first year, and then the pandemic made it kind of the opposite way around, but now we've kind of managed to just come back up slowly, right? So the first year pre-pandemic, we had several contracts already set up, Cartier being one of our larger clients. We also had Culture Magazine, one of the largest magazines out there in their specific sector. So awesome. That ended up being great because we already had large clients through our door.
Yeah.
I won't say month one, but 3 months in.
Yeah.
With that said, we were able to grow a team and have about eight employees, I'll say, three full-timers and five freelancers, but they were really devoted and really devoted to the team, and they were pretty much acting like full-timers. So we had our nice little office in the art district, and we just had a nice, nice atmosphere for creatives to come in, whether they were photographers, audio editors, videographers. We were providing a good ecosystem for them to just kind of throw out ideas. And that was a great experience, just being able to see what a creative agency, not even a marketing agency, could look like, and having, you know, unique perspectives and different personalities all in one room. So that was great. But then the pandemic hits and we go through this phase of a decline where, you know, sales revenue took a hit. It was very difficult to sell creative, so we had to really scale down our team. We weren't getting fruitful contracts and we weren't generating as much revenue. And that's when my co-founder and I, Edgar, we really had to learn, how to become real great business owners. So we obviously took a little bit of a financial hit, and we, you know, obviously bootstrapped the company. So We had to kind of manage the finances out in order for us to stay afloat and keep as many people on as possible. And did this for about 5 or 6 months and completely pivoted the business from selling creative as our number one thing to doing marketing and including creatives as opposed to the other way around. And now, when we started doing that, we started focusing a lot on digital marketing services, web content creation, website creation. That pivot allowed us to start generating revenue, and obviously it opened up the floodgates to potentially get more clients. And in terms of the client number size, it fluctuated from 8 to about 3 to then 5, and now we have a strong 6 or 7 clients, and they bring in enough revenue to pay employees and keep a roof over our head, so to speak. So everything's going fine. And now this year, I was going to say this upcoming year, but now 2022, we're looking to change our business model up and be a bit more SaaS oriented.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Nice. So with regards to sales and, pitching your services, how did the pandemic affect that?
Yeah, I touched upon some. I think the biggest thing was having to pivot our business from being creative first and selling creative. Mm-hmm. Those contracts are a bit more lucrative. If you're working with, let's say, a company like Live Watches, one of our contracts, a photo shoot for them goes for thousands and thousands of dollars. We weren't getting those contracts at the peak of the pandemic just because companies weren't spending as much on creatives.
So, gotcha.
Yeah, we ended up taking a big hit because of that. We also did commercials. We were doing commercial shoots and partnering with a local studio that had videographers and, as mentioned, audio editors, video editors.
Yeah.
So those contracts, they go for $15,000 to $20,000. And once you remove those larger contracts out of the equation, and those are one-off contracts that come maybe once, twice a month and take about 4 or 5 days of actual manpower, actual labor.
Yeah.
Once you get rid of those and then start having to re-strategize and focus on marketing services that are a little bit longer and might be a little bit less, it dented the business some, it dented the revenue. However, we were able to at least start building our portfolio of marketing services, and now we are going after, I guess, a higher end audience. And we're looking to rebound strong this year and hopefully generate as much as we were doing with creative services with digital marketing efforts.
Interesting. So would you say that you had to kind of be flexible and pivot and just kind of, evaluate what it is that your clients were looking for and then just, make those changes and go with the flow type thing once the pandemic hit?
Exactly. Yeah. What we had to, and that's the beauty of having a smaller team too. If you're less than 5 people, you can make those pivots, you can make those changes and then put everyone in a room and say, hey, this isn't working. We need to re-strategize, rethink the way we approach sales, rethink the way that we market ourselves, and we need to do what we can in order to stay afloat and generate enough revenue where, as mentioned, we cover overhead, cover costs, and pay ourselves. So,
yeah, exactly. So what systems were critical to have in place so you were able to grow your agency during the pandemic?
You mind kind of defining systems a bit? Are you talking more software or just strategy?
Yeah, were there any... were there any, software processes that you had to implement that maybe just made things easier for your team to manage the projects that you had in place?
Yeah. I think my previous experience at SaaS companies allowed me to understand how to work remote. And there was a bit of a learning curve, but we were able to pick up and use systems and softwares like Asana, Slack, anything, obviously, cloud-based systems like Google Drive and Dropbox or WeTransfer for larger files. It enabled us to be nimble, work on the fly, work from our houses, and excuse me, the Adobe Creative Suite too, Adobe Creative Suite as well. It allowed us to kind of work on everything we needed to work on wherever we were, no matter the situation. And just the fact that we were always online and always kind of communicating with each other made it real easy and real simple for us to see what was going on, communicate what was going on, and just store all of our information and send files. So
Yeah, it's so interesting how it's really changed the whole landscape of doing business now since the pandemic hit. You know, we're all so well connected now. And I think it's a positive thing in the long run because it's made us all so much more productive.
Yeah, I have to give kudos to Kurt Schrader and Andrew Childs. They were one of the people that employed me at Clubhouse Software, now known as Shortcut. They had a completely globally dispersed team. You know, they were out in Australia, New York, obviously San Francisco, and we were using all these kind of common technologies 4 or 5 years ago, and you know, we had Zoom before it was a multi-billion-dollar company. We were using like different whiteboard services and doing, you know, virtual stand-ups every single day. So that preparation and that understanding of technology, and all the technologies that were needed to run a remote team, it really made it easy for me to do it as an agency. Obviously, if you're working with creative professionals, you know, they only know how to shoot photographs and shoot videos, and they're so focused on mastering Adobe and mastering their craft. And you know, to teach them, it's a bit of a learning curve. You have to tell them about the features, make sure that they're adding people whenever they're communicating on Slack, doing all those small things, and storing files properly. But once they learn and once they have an understanding, it just becomes easier for everyone to just kind of talk to each other and work with one another.
Absolutely. How has networking played a role, if so, in helping you scale your agency?
Yeah, the first couple contracts were all through networking. And you know, I feel like the New Yorks and Miamis of the world, larger cities, it's very easy. I think the entrepreneurs out here are very animate and passionate about what they do. So they're going to events. They're constantly looking for the thing that's going to help them become the next big company. So, just being able to meet with these individuals, and one of the reasons we picked our office in downtown Miami or Wynwood was because it's literally the highest foot traffic area in Miami. So just kind of going around there and talking with people enabled us to get those contracts. We literally had our first three contracts within our co-working space and in the office right above us, just because Edgar, my co-founder, went on a bicycle ride with the CEO of Live Watches. And
that's so cool.
You know, those small things, those one-on-one connections that we make with people around us, and we aren't initially thinking about conducting business deals. We're just having fun with individuals. That enabled us to grow as a company and get these big clients that we would have never imagined of working with.
That's so cool. Do you have any tips for nurturing relationships with prospective clients?
Yeah, I think it's important to use some of the technologies that are currently available, the same like remote technologies that I just mentioned, like the Slacks of the world, and open up those lines of communications with them to make it visible to them to know what you're doing on a daily basis. So I have a Slack group with every single one of our clients. Google Drive folders that have all the information, all the media, all the content, even like Figma files that have, you know, web designs and prototypes. They see everything that's going on. They're a part of the story. I usually, ask them for comments as I'm working on things or after I'm done working on things, and it becomes a lot easier for them to see how you work, and it encourages them to learn more about what you're doing, and they actually appreciate it more, in my experience doing that. So yeah, just have the technology there to encourage open communication and get feedback from them.
Interesting. And do you have a mentor?
It's no, actually, it's one of the things that I'm looking for.
Yeah, it can be challenging finding a mentor.
Yeah, there's been a lot of Twitter spaces and Clubhouse rooms that talk about mentorship. And I would say at first, when I started Office Vibe with Daniel, the people that acquired us, they were our mentors. And then after 2 years, the company just kind of took off and they became more of just like our bosses, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So the dynamic changed. And then after that, I was like, all right, well, I would like somebody to kind of guide me on this journey of being not just an entrepreneur, agency owner, but just like kind of a person juggling all these things around. I think it's important to have, but it's how do you find that? And I think that's a big challenge. And maybe there's services out there that's already have trying to connect that people like that. But I do know there's a great people here in Miami that I've kind of like pinged or just followed them on Twitter. I'm just like, wow, these individuals are great, and I would love to work with them and just get their advice. But to answer your question, no.
Yeah. So my business partner, he had a mentor, and it was someone in the software space that he really admired. And he offered to do just like help him out. He gave him like 10 hours a week of his time in exchange for mentoring sessions. And it worked out amazing. And now they have like such a great relationship. He's done so much to help our company. And so yeah, it can be challenging, but I think having that persistence and getting kind of creative with how you approach it can be beneficial too.
Yeah, that would be great. I guess I'll use this podcast as my like casting call for a mentor.
Yeah.
Over there, would definitely love it. But not at the moment. People inspire me. The people I follow on social media, whether they're just posting funny marketing things or funny memes, those are the people that I look for advice.
Yeah.
It's good to see that there's a whole online community where you can interact with these individuals and get to know them some. That's cool.
Very cool. Do you have any tips or knowledge bombs that you'd like to drop for the up and coming generation of agency owners?
The knowledge bomb, I guess, or the big tip is it's not easy.
Nope, definitely not. No, not the easy road.
It's definitely not easy, but once you find out how you're gonna, run your business, it's very fun. It's, challenging. It's very stressful. Getting clients to understand, feedback from clients can be very stressful. Scope creep, having people wanting more than, what's on the scope, and them not really wanting to bargain and push or wanting to pay more for it. That's going to be a challenge and be very stressful. Make sure to have all your invoices have as much information as possible and cover your butt. So, but aside from all that, I guess you could call it negative things, and those lessons that you have to just gain as you start your agency. The good message or the positive message is it's fun. It's exciting. Now I'm delving into content creation. I'm doing my first round of like TikToks where I show my face. I think I've been very heads down, and now I'm actually starting to put myself out there as well as my employees out there. Now we're kind of doing that as internal initiatives to gain new clients. And that is fun, and that is something that I look forward to doing, and it's what I do. We're going to talk about my routine now, but it's what I look forward to doing every single morning.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, we're gonna start wrapping up here shortly, but tell us, where do you see New Theory in 5 years' time?
I see us changing how agencies work with startups. I would like to really run almost like a SaaS company where there's a subscription model of sorts, and we just kind of put together the strategy, go in and do everything that's necessary to help them reach their KPIs. And so it's cool. A little bit more hands-off, a lot less going back and forth. It's just like, hey, you're gonna trust us with this. We're gonna go in and put all these things in there, implement all these strategies, and you're just gonna see everything grow. So ideally, I would love for it to be a lot more hands off between the clients and get them focused on what they love to do and what they're passionate about instead of, you know, worrying about website design and what's going on. And,
yeah.
Just trust us to do all these things and, you know, hopefully pay us a monthly fee to do so or some kind of consultation fee. We haven't really mapped out how we're going to do it just yet.
Yeah.
But then we can throw creative on top of that. And by that, I mean, you know, photo, video, audio, works, illustrations, hopefully.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, I'm pumped for you guys. That'll be really exciting. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I think the Alchemist by Paulo Coelho.
Okay.
His name right? I think it's one of those fiction books that if you analyze, or everyone's going to read it differently, if you kind of just, you know, read it and see, like, there's this journey that took forever to get there. And even
though
he got beat up to get to a certain point, and he still enjoyed it and still admired it, I think it's one of those, like, really great books that you're like, wow, all right. A little bit of a shocker at the end, but still.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good lesson. And what does your morning routine look like?
Now it changes every single month. I'm optimizing myself. I make the same breakfast every day, spinach, eggs. Just go through my first batch of news on my phone. And as mentioned, now I'm starting to create one piece of content and organize the content for the day or for the week. And whether it's a tweet, a TikTok, one form of written content, one form of video content, and starting to answer questions on Reddit and Quora threads. I find that that's been really effective in getting myself and the brand out there. So
very cool. That's awesome. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I know he's controversial. I really love Elon. I think he is
controversial, but he's so inspiring.
Yeah, I think once you break the norms of social engineering and say, like, no, I'm going to do things however I want to, and say outlandish things and have, you know, press releases about the outlandish things you say, it's pure marketing genius. Some say Tesla has a $0 marketing budget just because they just go off of him. I personally feel like he plants a lot of craziness out there on himself just so he can build a whole story around him, and he controls his narrative. So I think from a marketing perspective, just pure brilliance.
Yeah, just what he named his child solely is, like, good marketing. It gets people talking about you.
Yeah, and I still to this day think the flamethrower thing with the Boring Company, that was just one big marketing ploy. I've never seen anyone or know anyone that, you know, wasn't a friend of the company that has one of those things.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you remember that. It was a whole flamethrower that went off for sale, quote unquote sale, and people were writing stories about it left and right.
Yeah.
So I personally feel like things like that, he does them because he knows he's going to get pressed for it.
So. Yeah, it's so interesting. And what is your favorite online tool?
Once again, it changes every single month. I'll say my flavor of the month right now is SEMrush. SEMrush has done a great job. They aren't paying me to say this, but if they want to, I'll feel free. My DMs are open. SEMrush, or SEMrush, however you want to pronounce it, one of the best SEO tools I've used. I've tried Ahrefs. I really like that, but Moz, I no longer use them. SEMrush has everything you need, from keyword analysis to content suggestions, even ways to improve local SEO.
Mm-hmm.
You name it. I mean, if you want to start building a great inbound and organic strategy, it's probably best done through them.
Very cool. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
It's a bit of a toughie. I'm going to think about it some.
Well, you know what? There's too many lessons in there to pick one oftentimes, right? Like,
yeah.
I really appreciate you joining us today, and you've had so many helpful tips and tricks for our listeners. So
yeah. I think I have them, actually. Don't undersell yourself.
Don't undersell yourself. That's a good one.
Yeah. As marketers, we tend to think that, at least initially, I was like, oh, everyone else has the talent here. Non-technical founders have this problem where they just see themselves as the person pitching the company or the person selling items or doing these things. But marketers, content creators, they're the real drivers of the brand, right? The creators and distributors of the actual brand and of the actual products are 100 times, like, I won't say 100 times more important, but just as important as the people creating the products.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been so great chatting with you.
No problem, Julie. I look forward to hearing it. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.